If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Amateur Traveler, episode 894. Today, Amateur Traveler talks about musicians and humorists, museums and anomalies, oil barons, Native Americans, and Black Wall Street as we go to the state of Oklahoma. This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler. Let's talk about Oklahoma. I'd like to welcome to the show Caitlin from TwinFamilyTravels.com. And Caitlin has come to talk to us about Oklahoma. Caitlin, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And what is your connection with Oklahoma?
I've basically lived in Oklahoma my entire life. I grew up here. I went to college here. So my whole life has basically been spent in Oklahoma, in Northeast Oklahoma mainly, but I've also lived in Western Oklahoma as well for a period of time.
And I think you have told me that we're going to focus a lot on Tulsa and Northeast Oklahoma. So that is consistent. That's the area that you know best.
Yes, it is.
Excellent. Why should someone go to Oklahoma?
People should visit Oklahoma because it has a unique history and it has a lot of natural beauty. I think it's surprising and unexpected to a lot of people. It has a complicated history in many ways. Yeah. We'll get into that. But it has seen a lot of revitalization and improvement over the years. There's really been an increase of top-notch museums, outdoor spaces, and there's really just something for everybody to enjoy here.
Excellent. What kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us?
So I have a 7-day itinerary. We are going to base out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay. That is in Northeast Oklahoma. It's a good base. And we'll spend a couple days in Tulsa and then branch out to the larger Northeast Oklahoma area.
Okay.
First of all, you will need a car to get around. Tulsa is not public transportation friendly. So you will need a car to get around. But I'm going to start us in day one in downtown Tulsa. So we're going to spend the entire day in downtown Tulsa. A good breakfast spot to start out is Dilly Diner. They have huge cinnamon rolls that are a crowd favorite. So that's where I would start us.
Okay.
Next, we're going to move to what's called the Center of the Universe. Yes, you can visit the Center of the Universe in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So let me explain what this quirky attraction is.
I thought that was New York City from my friends from New York, but okay.
So it is dubbed the Center of the Universe, and it is an acoustic anomaly in downtown Tulsa on this pedestrian bridge. So you stand inside the circle, you talk, and the sound echoes back to you extremely loud, way more than you would expect. But nobody outside of this circle can hear the sound. So it's this odd, bizarre, quirky stop. It's called an acoustic anomaly. So that's where I would start. Okay. It's a quick stop, but it's something you just have to do when you visit Tulsa.
Okay.
And then downtown, there are some museums to check out. So we're going to start with the top-notch Woody Guthrie Center.
Okay.
Let me explain Woody Guthrie a little bit. He is an Okie through and through. He is most well known for his 1940 hit, This Land Is Your Land. Mm-hmm. And he became a writer for the people. He traveled the country and wrote all these songs, but they have put his collection and everything into the Woody Guthrie Center that's located in downtown Tulsa.
Okay. And when you say his collection, so he is a singer, so we're going to be listening to clips from his music or seeing his guitars or learning some of the history or all of the above?
A little bit of all of the above. Okay. And he was also an avid artist. So there's all of these sketches. So even on his handwritten lyrics, there's drawings and sketches, and he has paintings, and he really did it all. So there's a really cool Dust Bowl exhibit. He grew up in the Dust Bowl, and they have this VR headset that you can put on and see what it was like in the Dust Bowl. And then they also have a film on his life and exhibits on his journey through starting out in Oklahoma, going to Texas, and then going to California. He ended up in New York, and it goes through that whole story. Talks about a lot of his influences. So John Mellencamp is a big fan of his, and different people that have looked up to him.
Okay. And for those people who, especially those maybe who are outside the U.S. who are listening, who don't know about the Dust Bowl, it was just amazing if you were living at that time, kind of end of days sort of things, where your farm is not just drying up and the crops are withering, but your farm is literally just blowing away. And that would be fascinating to see that in a VR headset. That seems like the perfect way to explain that to people rather than just stale text or something.
It was very eye-opening, even for somebody that's in Oklahoma and knows all about it. It was very eye-opening to see that firsthand.
Excellent. Where to next?
So then we're going to go in the same block down a few doors to the Bob Dylan Center.
Okay.
So this is a relatively new thing for Tulsa. Bob Dylan idolized Woody Guthrie and knew Woody Guthrie when Bob Dylan was getting started. Mm-hmm. And the Kaiser Foundation in Tulsa had bought his collection and put the Bob Dylan Center literally in the same block as the Woody Guthrie Center. So it's a really cool, new, modern center to see. One of the neat things is when you check in, they give you an MP3 player and it will scan QR codes around the center. So you can listen to interviews, you can listen to music, you can get all this extra information as you're going through the center and looking at the exhibits and different pieces of Bob Dylan's life. So it was just really immersive and something extra that made it really special. There's information about his life, there's information about his music, his memorabilia. All kinds of things are in the Bob Dylan Center.
And since we're talking about Bob Dylan, when you're listening to his music, do they have subtitles so you can actually understand what Bob Dylan is saying?
No, I don't think they did on that.
Oddly enough, back when I was in college, I helped sponsor a Bob Dylan concert in the Albany, New York area. So with a group that I was in college. So I have some connection to Bob Dylan, but I still don't understand him. So
fair enough. So there's one more musical place in Tulsa that is worth checking out, and that's called the Church Studio.
Okay.
You may or may not know of a man called Leon Russell.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Okay. Leon Russell grew up in Tulsa. He got his start as a session musician for well-known artists. In history, he has been a little bit forgotten and he's not as well-known, but the list of people that he has collaborated with is insanely long. Hmm. Like Elton John, Ringo Starr, the list goes on. And a lot of these people were recording in the Church Studio in Tulsa when he had it in the 70s. So you can tour the Church Studio. It's still a working studio, so there's still musicians that come in and use it to this day. Like the list of artists that have used it just keeps growing and growing, but it's really cool to see this unforgotten person in musical history getting a little bit of recognition.
Okay, interesting. Now I'm curious what songs Leon Russell wrote and do I know any of them?
Yeah, I tried to make a list. People that he worked with, this is the list. Tom Petty, Jimmy Buffett, Eric Clapton, Willie Nelson, Stevie Wonder, Asleep at the Wheel, Michael Bolton, The Gap Band, Kansas. It's crazy, and he's not very well known.
Huh, interesting. Very cool.
Okay. So once you've had your fill of music history in Tulsa, stay in downtown, but we're going to move a little bit to what's called the Greenwood District.
Okay.
So the Greenwood District has been getting more attention in the last maybe 10 years. The Greenwood District was historically known as Black Wall Street.
Okay.
Do you know anything about this story?
Yes.
Okay. So in the early 1920s, Black Wall Street was a thriving Black community mm-hmm. in Tulsa. A lot of that was created due to segregation. So they would go out of the community and work. But then when they came back into the community, they still had to have barbers and hotels and restaurants and things. It was a thriving community that had roughly 10,000 residents at the time. In 1921, there was what's called the Tulsa Race Massacre. Mm-hmm. So their entire community was set on fire. And it's a really dark piece of Tulsa history, but they have been working on revitalizing that area. There's a lot of Black-owned businesses going back into the area. They also opened what's called Greenwood Rising. So it's like a museum, okay. but it walks you through the beginnings of the Greenwood District. So what happened with the massacre, and then what has happened since. So they actually did rebuild the town after it was all burned, and they had a thriving community until around the 60s. So it goes through all of the notable people in Tulsa history that were associated with that. There was a Black high school, Booker T. Washington. It gives the story on the students and things there. There's a couple ways that you can explore outside of the museum. There is a larger Greenwood District that you can see. They have Greenwood District walking tour brochure at the Greenwood Rising Center that you can pick up, and then you can see a lot of the other sites. One of the places worth checking out is the John Hope Franklin Reconciliation Park.
Mm-hmm.
Long name, but it is a nice place to stop and reflect on what happened in Greenwood. One of the more unknown things about this district is many of the residents were actually Cherokee freedmen. So in the park, they have information in the park on those freedmen's start with the Trail of Tears and their lives in Oklahoma. And it goes through really all that happened to those Cherokees as well as the other people in the Greenwood District.
Okay, so it's a double dark moment in American history. I don't know how to put it better than that, because we have the Trail of Tears, which is the Cherokee and other tribes being excluded from and ejected from the South and then ending up in Indian Territory, which is what Oklahoma was at the time. In terms of you asked whether I had heard about the Tulsa and Greenwood and Black Wall Street and all that, a good fictional account. There are many books on the subject, but a good fictional account that is a good read on that is The Given Day by Dennis Lehane, which one of the different things that he covers in that book, as well as the flu epidemic of 1919 and things like that as well, but a good historical fiction book.
Okay.
Where to next?
There is one more place to check out for day one of our itinerary, and that is dinner at Fixin's Soul Kitchen. Fixin's was founded by a former NBA player, Kevin Johnson. So there are two locations in California, but because of the history of the Greenwood District, he decided to put one in Tulsa as well. And it is soul food. So some of the more popular items. So they have deep fried deviled eggs, which sounds odd, but they were delicious.
Oddly enough, I had deep fried deviled eggs yesterday, and I'm not actually kidding. It's the first time I'd ever heard about them, but they were really good.
They are good. And I had never heard of those before either.
Their specialties include really good fried chicken. They have authentic sides like collard greens, okra, grits. So it's definitely worth checking out before you head out of the Greenwood District.
Got it.
Okay.
That's just day one.
I know. It gets less as we go, I promise. That one was a lot of history. Okay, so day two, we are going to check out Tulsa's parks and gardens. So I'm going to start us at the Tulsa Botanic Garden. It is located on the north side of Tulsa. It's a really nice garden, especially in the spring with the tulips. But really, any time of year, you can go and see something new. They have fall events. They have a really nice Christmas light show. So really, any time of the year, you can go and see beautiful flowers at the Tulsa Botanic Gardens.
Got it.
Okay, and if you're looking for a lunch spot, I would suggest Mondo's Italian restaurant. It is a family-owned and operated business in Tulsa. So we're going to head back into Tulsa now. They have wood-fired pizzas, pastas, soup, salad, sandwiches. It's a nice lunch spot.
Okay.
And then we are going to head to Philbrook Museum. So Philbrook Museum is an art museum and a garden outside. The Villa Philbrook was built by Waite Phillips. So Phillips of Phillips Petroleum Company.
Got it. Okay.
Some of this stuff, like I come back to the Cherokee stuff later, and then I'll come back to Phillips later. So I'm giving information now, but I'll talk about it more later.
Okay.
ButcherBox is sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler, and I just got my first ButcherBox. I've got packed with dry ice came 4 packets of ground beef, 3 packets of chicken breasts, 2 steaks, some pork ribs, and some sirloin tips. Now, I've got a great recipe for what to do with the chicken. At least one of those packets of chicken is going to become Greek chicken and rice. And if you go to chris2x.com, I've got a recipe there that's an Instant Pot recipe. But I'm not good with steak, and so I'm going to take advantage of the fact that ButcherBox has recipes on their site at butcherbox.com to learn some great recipes to do with those steaks. You can have ButcherBox deliver meat to your doorstep. Free shipping is always curated to custom box plans. You can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. I also like the fact that I could recycle all the box and shipping material that they sent. Sign up at butcherbox.com/traveler and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. Choose salmon, chicken, breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/traveler. If you got recipes for ribs or steaks, send them my way as I send my thanks to ButcherBox.com for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so the Phillips brothers were in the oil and gas business, but Villa Philbrook in Tulsa was built by Waite Phillips, and he made his own way in the oil business and did real estate. So the Philbrook Museum of Art opened in 1939, and the collection has more than 16,000 pieces, mostly American, Native American, and European art. They are working on new collections all the time, so there is some more modern contemporary art as well. But the gardens, to me, is the standout of the property. So it's 25 acres. They have sharp lines. It's very Italian. So there's staircases down. There's fountains. There's places to sit. They've put in swings, little benches everywhere. So it's a really nice, beautiful place, especially in the spring with the tulips. They plant tulips in the formal beds. So it's just a really nice place in Tulsa to see some art and get outside and see the gardens.
Okay.
The next outdoor space is the Gathering Place. So the Gathering Place is one of the best places, outdoor spaces in the country. It's a 100-acre free public park in Tulsa. there's not too many itineraries that people suggest, hey, go check out a park. But this one, you really need to go check out a park. There are multiple playground areas for, honestly, big kids and little kids. Even adults can get in there and play. It's crazy what all they have. There's a slide area with these huge metal slides. There's a swing area. There's a beach. There's a boathouse, and you can take a kayak or a pedal boat ride out on the pond. There's the lodge to hang out, get some coffee. It really just has something for everyone there, and it's completely free.
And one thing that caught my eye that I'm trying to figure out what it is, Charlie's Water Mountain.
Yes, so that's more for kids. So Charlie's Water Mountain is turned on in the hotter months, and kids can get in there and play with all of the things and all the water running.
Got it, got it. Water park sort of play area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we are going to finish up day two at Nola's Creole and Cocktails. So this is probably one of the most popular places in Tulsa to eat. Just all around, people just really enjoy it. It is a throwback to Prohibition era New Orleans. So it's Creole cuisine.
Okay.
Their specialty is the Voodoo Chicken, which has like a Mornay sauce with lump crab meat in it. It's delicious. So they have grits, they have beignets for dessert. So that's my suggestion for dinner.
Okay.
Okay, so day three in Tulsa, I am going to give ideas and you piece together the itinerary that you think suits you best. So there's a couple of outdoor spaces in Tulsa worth checking out. One of them is Turkey Mountain Urban Wilderness. So it's 750 acres. It's hiking and mountain biking. They're always adding to it right now. They've been working on the trails and making it even better. But it's a really nice spot in the heart of Tulsa to get outdoors, see some of our natural wilderness area.
Okay. And when you say wilderness area, my mental picture of Oklahoma is a lot of prairie where the winds come sweeping over the plains. This looks like it is wooded.
Yes. Eastern Oklahoma is mostly wooded.
Okay.
Western Oklahoma is mostly that stereotypical prairie
from
grassland.
The song. Okay.
Yep. Yes. But most of Eastern Oklahoma does have forests, does have the woods. So it's very not what you would picture Oklahoma being.
And where do the woods end and the prairie start on the map?
More towards the middle of Oklahoma is where the line is. Maybe a little further east than middle, but definitely the eastern half is wooded and the western half is not.
So maybe halfway to Oklahoma City, we'll leave our trees behind.
Yes.
Okay, got it. I have to ask, since you're getting us outside now, and we talked about in the hotter months, we have the water park for the kids. When would you recommend we come to Oklahoma to have the best experience?
So Oklahoma has all the seasons.
Okay.
So in the summer, it's going to be very hot. So if you are okay with being outside and it's hot, or you want to be inside.
What is your definition of very hot in Oklahoma in the summer?
In August, it can be over 100 degrees Fahrenheit.
So into the 40s Celsius for our European friends. Okay.
It can be very hot. And then in the winter, we don't typically get much snow. It can be cold.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to be outside necessarily, but it's not super cold, but it's still not enjoyable. So my suggestion would be to come either in the spring or the fall when the weather is more mild.
And do you have a favorite season or a favorite day to be in Oklahoma or in Tulsa?
Since the eastern half of the state is wooded, November is pretty spectacular with the fall colors. So it obviously changes every year, but that's probably my favorite time.
That's quite late for fall colors, but that makes sense. You're further south. Okay.
Yes. So normally late October, early November, it just depends on the year. This year was very late and it was Thanksgiving and we were still having fall colors.
Interesting. Okay.
So one more outdoor space This is a little outside of Tulsa in Sand Springs, but it's just one town over, is a nature preserve called Keystone Ancient Forest. So it has trees in there up to 500 years old, which is pretty old for Oklahoma. So that is another really cool, neat spot. It has great hiking trails, lots of different options. Some are really short, some are really long. So that is a great spot to get outside.
Okay.
Okay, another unique place to visit in Tulsa is the Outsiders House Museum. So The 1980s movie, The Outsiders, was filmed in Tulsa. Mm. There's quite a few different locations around town that ended up in the movie. But the house where the Curtis
the phrase, brothers... stay gold pony boy, makes sense to you, this might be something you want to put on your itinerary.
Definitely. So the Curtis Brothers house has been renovated. It's been turned into a museum, and it's just a unique place to visit, especially if you're really into the movie or the books. So another unique place in Tulsa to visit is the Golden Driller statue. It is 76 feet tall, weighs over 43,000 pounds, and is a giant driller, like an oil worker. Mm-hmm. He has his arm resting on an oil derrick. It is Oklahoma's official state monument.
Okay.
So you can check that out in Tulsa. I didn't know that unless I was doing research for this. I was like, okay, I didn't know
states had official monuments. Okay.
That's what I found. Route 66 runs through Tulsa, Oklahoma. So one of the neat places to check out is Mother Road Market. So it is a food hall. It has lots of eateries. It's the concessions, the drinks and things are centralized, but you can go around whatever sounds good to you that day. You can try a bunch of different things. It's a really fun place to hang out. One of the more popular places now is a place called Dr. Custom, and they serve Brazilian food, but he was recently nominated for Best Chef Southwest by the James Beard Awards. So that has become a very popular place in Tulsa, especially on Thursdays when he sells his very popular sandwiches.
Okay. And these are pastels sandwiches.
Yeah, I didn't know how to say it.
Kind of like a panini. I can't say anything in Portuguese properly, so don't hold me to that.
Pastels, yes. So he sells...
It's probably pastels if it's Portuguese, but...
Yeah, I was just going to avoid it because I wasn't sure. Yes, they sell those in different flavors, beef, cheese, chicken. So those are popular daily. And then his sandwiches are very popular on Thursdays and sell out.
Okay.
So the last thing in Tulsa is if you are interested in learning more about Tulsa history, is that okay if I talk about a tour?
Absolutely.
Okay. There is a private company in Tulsa that does private tours. Their name is Tulsa Tours. They offer quite a few different options, but there are two tours that might interest your listeners. The first one is the tunnel tours. So When the oil boom happened and business was going really well downtown, they needed to get between buildings. So they built these tunnels. They're not really tunnels as much as more just underground building spaces, but it is an interesting piece of history. You can walk in these tunnels underground, learn about all that information that went along with those. The tunnels aren't really tunnels, but they're more hallways. The other, I think, unexpected thing about Tulsa is the Art Deco history. There is a lot of Art Deco architecture in downtown Tulsa, and they do a whole tour just on the Art Deco. So if that's something that is interesting to your listener, that would be a great tour to take.
Okay.
Okay, so for day four of this itinerary, I am going to take us out of Tulsa about an hour to Bartlesville and Pawhuska.
Okay.
Bartlesville has a few attractions worth checking out, the first being the Price Tower Arts Center. So it is the only fully realized skyscraper by Frank Lloyd Wright. It is 19 stories and was completed in 1956. So you can take a tour inside. It has the original office furniture. And you can see what that looked like. So that's a very unique thing in Oklahoma.
Okay. And we're doing this as a day trip, but it seems that I could even stay in the Price Tower if I wanted to.
You definitely can. Yes.
Okay.
The other thing in Bartlesville is the Frank Phillips home. Frank Phillips was the founder of Phillips Petroleum Company. Okay. And made a fortune in Oklahoma in the oil business.
Oops.
So his Bartlesville home is somewhere that you can tour and see that. It's early 20th century. You can take a tour. It lasts about an hour. So if that's something that's interesting, that is worth checking out before you head to his other home called Woolrock. So Woolrock comes from the words woods, lakes, and rocks. So they put that together to make the word Woolrock. And it is a 3,700 acre wildlife preserve. There are multiple things to do while you are visiting Woolrock. There is a 2-mile paved loop that allows you to see the animals on the property. There are bison, elk, deer, cattle, an ostrich, a water buffalo, zebra. So you can see all kinds of animals out there.
Okay.
The main part of Woolrock is the museum. And it is a very good museum with Native American art and artifacts. It has a large Western collection. So there's lots of paintings, saddles, hides, firearms. There's also some history on Bartlesville oil production. And there's even an airplane inside.
Okay.
The other thing worth checking out on the property is the Woolrock Lodge. So this was Frank's country home. It is a log cabin, basically, or a log house. It's quite large. But one of the interesting things is the bark is still on the logs. So they have to seal it every year. But that's interesting to see the log cabin with the bark still on the walls. Okay, so once you have wrapped up at Woolrock, one of the places I would suggest that everybody visit when they come to Oklahoma is the Tallgrass Prairie Preserve. Okay. It is not too far from Woolrock, and it is the largest protected prairie in the world. It's 39,000 acres, and 2,500 bison roam freely on the land. So you can drive on the dirt roads and try to just keep an eye out for bison, see what the prairie would have been. So like you said, when we get up in the north here, there is some more prairie land versus the woods, but it's a really unique place to see so much prairie that has not been preserved anywhere else.
Okay. And then it also looks like there are paleontology exhibits in the park as well.
I went to the visitor center when COVID and they weren't open. So I haven't actually seen the visitor center. There is a visitor center and a gift shop. There's also some hiking trails. Mm-hmm. So there are some other things to do. Mostly though, you're just driving around looking for bison. There is no cell service. So just plan ahead on that front.
Okay.
And if you have times left in your day, then head over to Pawhuska. Pawhuska has been put on the map because of the Pioneer Woman. She has a Food Network show and is really popular.
Oh, got it.
And
okay.
She films the show and lives in Pawhuska. She has put in quite a few restaurants and shops and things downtown. The Pioneer Woman Mercantile, the restaurant is very good. So if you're in town and you're looking for dinner, that is a very good spot to eat. There's also P-Town Pizza that is hers that is also really good.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
There are a lot of downtown shops, antique shops, Western shops, so it has become a nice destination. And then there are also cultural attractions to see there. So there's the Osage Nation Museum. The Osage Nation has also been getting a lot of attention lately because of the Killers of the Flower Moon movie with Leonardo DiCaprio that is out. The Osage Nation Museum, the Osage County Historical Society has information. And then there is a cowboy museum to see in town as well.
Okay.
For day five, just a 30-minute drive from Tulsa is Claremore, Oklahoma.
Okay.
And Claremore is very proud of the people that have come from Claremore. So a lot of their attractions revolve around people from the area. But before you get started, I would suggest to go eat breakfast at Hugo's. You have to bring cash. They don't take credit cards. And okay. It's one of those places. So they have huge pancakes, omelets. You will be completely stuffed after breakfast. So definitely go eat breakfast there. Probably the most popular person or the most famous person to come out of Claremore is Will Rogers. And his memorial museum is there in Claremore. It is a great spot to go and learn about his life. They have lots of artifacts. They have exhibits on different parts of his life. He was Cherokee, so there's that information and his entertainment pursuits, his final flight. For those that don't know, he ended up dying in a plane crash in Alaska. So it has all of the information on his life. One of the really cool things about the museum is they have a movie theater that plays his movies. One of my favorite ones is his trick roping movie. So there's just a silent film of him and all of his trick roping. So that's just a neat thing to see. He was so incredibly talented.
And the silent movie kind of places him in history. He dies in 35 and is born in the 1800s. And so he's a vaudeville, basically vaudeville to early Hollywood, and then humorist, basically, and especially the later part of his life.
Yes. His final resting place is on the memorial grounds. So you can go out in the backside of the memorial and see that as well.
Okay.
Some other places to check out in town, the J.M. Davis Arms and Historical Museum is the largest privately held firearms collection in the world. So if you're into firearms, that's your place. They have a huge collection, and they also have saddles, spurs, World War I posters, has it all.
Okay.
I would suggest for lunch, you have to stop at the Pink House. So the Pink House is located inside the Belvedere Mansion that was completed in 1907. So it's a very old building. They have great food. And then after you eat, you can tour the mansion and see all of the little intricate details that were put into houses at that time.
Okay.
So some more things to do down in downtown Claremore. There is the Museum of History. Again, they're very proud of the people that have come from Claremore. So there's the Lynn Riggs exhibit. Lynn Riggs wrote Green Grows the Lilacs, which became the musical Oklahoma. And there is a Patti Page exhibit, which she was a famous singer in the 1950s. A Stuart Roosa exhibit. He was an astronaut on the Apollo 14 mission. And then Andy Payne, which won the International Transcontinental Foot Race of 1928. So there's a whole exhibit on him, which was actually really interesting to learn about his story.
Okay.
Other things to do, there is downtown shopping. There are murals downtown, some really cool Route 66 themed ones with Will Rogers and a big Route 66 logo, and then some other ones around town worth checking out. Downtown Claremore is pretty small. It's just you really are only walking a few blocks, so you can easily explore the whole downtown area in just a few hours and see everything that you want to see.
And I feel like we can't talk about Will Rogers here without some quotes from Will Rogers. So I looked some up while listening to you, and so I'll share four with you because I could easily go on. One is, good judgment comes from experience, and that comes from bad judgment. Two is, I'm not a member of any organized political party. I'm a Democrat. And the one that people might recognize is, if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. And then something that I think is just a quintessential Will Rogers quote, there are three kinds of men: the one that learns by reading, the few who learn by observation, the rest of them have to pee on the electric fence for themselves.
So true.
That's Will Rogers.
So true. I had written this down, I didn't say it, but on Woody Guthrie, so he has a famous quote, and it's, left wing, right wing, chicken wing, it don't make no difference to me. And I was like, that's a good one. Okay, so that's all on Claremore. So day six is a day trip to Tahlequah, Oklahoma. And that is about an hour from Tulsa, maybe a little more. Tahlequah is the capital of Cherokee Nation. So a lot of the things to do in Tahlequah revolve around Cherokee Nation and learning about their culture, their their story. The Cherokee National History Museum is a very good museum to go and see. The bottom floor talks about the Cherokee freedmen. So the Cherokee did have slaves, and that they brought with them on the Trail of Tears, and then later they were freed. So there's a lot of information on those Cherokee stories on the bottom floor. Then as you go to the second floor, there is the Cherokee Nation origin story, and it talks about the different factions that there were while they were still in their homelands, and then it moves into their clash with Europeans or removal on the Trail of Tears. It also has information on the Civil War. Cherokee Nation was divided on the Civil War and actually fought on both sides. So that's a very interesting, sometimes difficult history that they put together and show. Then it goes into present day Cherokee Nation. It is completely free. All of the Cherokee Nation museums are free. In the same area as the History Museum, there is the Cherokee National Prison Museum. It's a good stop. And then the Supreme Court Museum tells more information. So if you have time, it's worth checking out all of those. They're all in the same general area, so they're not too far apart from each other.
Okay.
If you do happen to be in Tahlequah on Labor Day weekend, that is Cherokee National Holiday. So they make that a very big deal. There's lots of events and things going on. So if that happens to be when you visit, definitely go and check that out.
Okay.
One other thing related to the Cherokee Nation in Tahlequah is Hunter's Home. So it's about a 10-minute drive south of Tahlequah, and it is the only remaining pre-Civil War plantation home in Oklahoma. It's interesting to see a plantation home in Oklahoma, not exactly what you would expect, but you can learn about the history of the home there. If you are visiting Tahlequah in the summer, one of the most popular things to do is to float the Illinois River. So you can get a kayak, get a tube, a canoe, a raft. You can rent one and float down the river. So that's a really popular thing to do in Oklahoma in the summertime. So if you are visiting in the summer, definitely add that to your list.
Okay.
So
I feel like the Illinois River is lost here if it's in Oklahoma, but
sometimes you might have to walk it. Like it depends on the rainfall. It's not a huge body of water there. Okay, so for day seven, you can't come to Oklahoma and not go to Oklahoma City. So I put together a few places that haven't been discussed on the podcast before that are worth checking out. So the First Americans Museum, continuing on the Native American path here, the First Americans Museum in Oklahoma City is relatively new. They've been working on it for years and years, but it finally came to fruition. And it is really well put together. It talks about the 39 distinctive Native American tribes in Oklahoma.
Oh, that's just so Oklahoma. Wow. Okay.
When they moved all the tribes to Oklahoma, different tribes were allocated different pieces of land. Some of them were very large. The Cherokees got a very large portion, and some of them were very small. So where I grew up in Northeast Oklahoma, there are a number of tribes all within this little tiny area. don't realize how many tribes there really are here. But the museum is really good, and it talks about the origin story. So a lot of the different tribes have their own origin stories. It talks about the different origin stories of the tribes. It goes through the clash with European settlers, Indian removal, and then it talks about notable Native American figures. So there's an exhibit on Jim Thorpe and some different Native American figures.
And for those who weren't familiar with Jim Thorpe, was considered at one time the best athlete in the world.
Yeah.
American athlete, gold medal winner.
And then outside of the museum there, they have paid tribute to the mound builders that live.
Okay.
There is a mound outside that rises 90 feet and serves as a cosmological clock. So the movement of the sun is tracked with the mound, and it really pays tribute to the Native Americans that lived in North America.
Now, this is a modern mound, not one of the original ones, is my guess.
Correct, correct.
Okay.
They have built this, yes, for the museum. Okay, another cool place to check out in Oklahoma City is what's called Plaza Walls. So it's basically an alley, like an L-shaped alley, that they have completely covered the building and the fence with different murals. And it changes every year. So it's a rotating mural project, but it is just a super cool, unique place to check out in Oklahoma City. So I would highly recommend that. It doesn't take a long time to stop, but it's definitely worth stopping.
Okay.
Another unique thing to check out in Oklahoma City is the Museum of Osteology.
I don't even know what that is.
So they have 450 real skeletons. It's laid out in different categories. So you have primates, reptiles, marsupials, flightless birds, but really just about any animal you can think of, they have a skeleton that you can see. So it's really unique. If you're into that stuff, it's a unique place to go visit. Oklahoma City has put a lot of effort into revitalizing their downtown and their Bricktown areas and things. So they have put together this RiverSport OKC. And you can do all kinds of things there, but whitewater rafting is one of the popular things in the summer. So, I mean, it's class 2, 3, 4 rapids. It's a neat thing that you can do in Oklahoma City. And then they also have skiing. So they have a ski slope, and you can do actually like snow skiing in Oklahoma City. It's on the track, so you're not skiing down a mountain, but it's a really neat thing to do.
Okay. Can I do it all seasons? Or am I doing this in the winter?
I don't know for sure. I think you can, but I didn't see information that you can. It's an indoor thing, so I think you can do it all year.
Got it. That probably makes sense then, yeah.
And then the last thing in Oklahoma City that you might want to check out while you're there is the Blessed Stanley Rother Shrine. So that's relatively new as well. It is a Spanish mission-style church that they have built in honor of Father Rother. He was a martyr that was killed in Guatemala. But the church is really beautiful. It's a really nice place to go visit.
Okay.
And that's what I have.
Cool. Is that the entire itinerary there?
Yep, that's 7 days.
Okay, cool. Then let's get to some of our wrap-up questions. You were standing in the prettiest spot in all of Oklahoma. Doesn't have to be places you've talked about so far. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
All of Oklahoma. Oh man, I didn't think of that one. So in southwestern Oklahoma, they have what's called the Wichita Mountain. Mm-hmm. And watching sunset at the Wichita Mountains is one of the most beautiful places.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Excellent. And one thing that makes you laugh and say only in Oklahoma.
Can you stand at the center of the universe?
And if you had to summarize Oklahoma in just 3 words, what 3 words would you use?
I would say underrated.
Okay.
Green, because we have a lot of outdoor spaces, more than you would think, and welcoming.
Excellent. And we do have a couple other podcasts on Oklahoma. People want to learn more. There's a one on Oklahoma City, and then there's another one from way back with Robert Reed from USA Today, I think may have been. No, I can't think of where he was. He was at Lonely Planet when we talked to him about Oklahoma. But Caitlin from TwinFamilyTravels.com. So first of all, why Twin Family Travels?
Twin Family Travels because I have elementary age twins that I travel with. So we do almost all of our adventures together. So it just made sense to include them in the name.
Excellent. So you're not only traveling with people who are twins. It's just that two of them are. Okay. And if we wanted to send people to your best post on the state of Oklahoma at TwinFamilyTravels.com, what post are we going to send them to?
So I have a post that is pretty lengthy. It's 40 day trips from Tulsa. And to cover a lot of the places that I would suggest that I couldn't fit into this itinerary that you should still go check out.
Excellent. Excellent. We'll put a link to that in the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. Caitlin, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love of your home state of Oklahoma.
Thank you so much.
A special thanks to the patrons of the show and to the newest patron, Dave Burke. Welcome, Dave. The patrons of the show help support Amateur Traveler financially. And announcement, that's a big deal for me because I just announced this week that I'm retiring from my day job. I announced on Wednesday that I will be retiring July 1st, and my only source of income will become the podcast, the two podcasts and the blog that I do. Don't get me wrong, we have some other investments as well, but this will be my only active source of income. Planning on holding off taking Social Security till I'm a little older. So Dave and the other patrons who help support the show mean a lot to me. If you're interested in becoming a patron of the show, you can go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. And I got an email a while back from Ed that I've been holding off until I could announce the retirement to talk about. Ed said, I've been a listener to the show for some time. I have noticed in the past several months, you no longer display photos of sites referred to in the podcast. I may have missed your explanation for this in a previous podcast, or perhaps this is only available to patron supporters. I'd be curious to know why this has gone away and I miss it. And I wrote to Ed, sorry, yes, I explained it in one or two episodes, but I was afraid people might miss it, both the explanation and the photos, that is. After doing it for most of 19 years, I stopped putting the photos in, I think in February. I don't know if it was related to the death of my parents, making me reevaluate things, or my upcoming retirement. But I just didn't have the time to do it anymore. With changes in the players, fewer and fewer people were seeing it, and it was always a fairly small percentage from what I could tell. With a full-time job and two active podcasts and two active blogs, something finally had to give. My apologies. On top of that, it was actually costing me thousands of dollars a year, not just of my time, but of lost advertising revenue. With retirement coming up, that was a revenue that I thought I needed. And so I did want to give people that explanation one more time. Ed is actually the only person who has written to me that said they missed the photos. I always assume for every email that I get, there's 100 people who didn't write. My apologies. I actually enjoyed doing it, but it just took so much darn time. And the fact that you can't have both the chapters in a podcast and the inserted advertising is just a technology problem that I could not solve. Anyway, that's the explanation for that, and now a fuller explanation with the understanding that I am retiring. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com, and thanks so much for listening.